all across my palm, for it's bigger than any mountain. I cannot see. It's bigger than all confusion, bigger than anything. Lord, it's bigger than any mountain. I cannot see.
Similar to this one, he's a light at the river. Used to sing it. Let's sing When It's Wood at Hand Touched Mine then, praise God. And you're just starting to sing all right now. I thought the brakes was on earlier, mind you. You know, isn't it good to worship the Lord?
Amen.
Praise God. And I was really encouraged to Brother Gary Thursday night. I didn't get in person, but I was listening in, brother. Our brother over there has device where he goes on live, and sometimes you mightn't think there's that many in a meeting, but if it's on live, people could be listening at anywhere.
That's right.
And you're thinking there's not many here and maybe God didn't do much, but God could be doing a lot more than you can know.
That's right.
Because the word of God can go all over when it's on live. And I was listening in, brother, praise God. And it's good that young men Ian and Gary and any other brothers that go out, I think it's tremendous. That's what it's all about. Go and reach others. And it's great, isn't it? Praise God. Let's sing this just before we turn to the Word of God. Praise God. The Lord bless each one. When His wounded hand touched mine, Jesus set me free for all eternity. I was looking up last evening. I think I might have mentioned Albert Chambers here. I never knew it myself, but I was looking up when he was born and when God called him. And he's actually a testimony similar to my own. He was a robber. He used to rob houses. And he got caught, for his mate squealed on him. He vowed to God he would become a preacher if God would spare him the sentence, the jail sentence. And he started preaching in 1969, just a year after I was born. I thought that was tremendous, really. And no, he's a great man of God, Albert Chambers. Your brother John knows him, and his brother Hugh and other brothers. And God always has a man, and or a man, and a woman as well.
Amen.
Praise God. It's good women of God too, you know. Let's sing this, praise God.
Jesus.
just close our eyes before we turn to the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we have this great privilege as the people of God, that we can come boldly by the new and living way into thy very throne room and into thy very presence. We thank you this morning for open access because of the blood of Jesus. We plead the merits of the precious blood of the Lamb over our lives afresh, over this house afresh, over all that's near and dear to us. We plead the precious blood of the Lamb this morning. We say with the one that penned it, wash me afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and I shall be whiter than the driven snow. Purge me, Lord, and I shall be the ketchup. Sanctify us, and we'll praise thy name. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that thou wilt confound every demon power and every devil in this place and all about it in the name of Jesus Christ. I ask that the Holy Ghost will move and that the Holy Ghost will take control of our lives and of this meeting in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, bring into subjection all our vain imagination. We cast it down. We cast it out. All the enemy's trying to tell us, even this morning, we cast it down in Jesus' name. We ask that the Word of God will be clear and plain and penetrate the lives of men and women. Bless thy people once again. Touch those that need your touch. Heal them and deliver them in the name of Jesus. Restore the backslidden, I pray. Save every lost soul. Heal the sick and get thyself all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Bless our brother Gary for his witness. I pray you'll strengthen him. I pray you'll use him. I pray that someone that was listening in or in the service, that you'll save them, Lord, and deliver them in Jesus' precious name. Now, Lord, I take the blessed Holy Ghost to help me. And I thank you that you do. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 Praise God. She can't be ever beside you and say the Lord is real. Praise God. Amen. Isn't God good? Praise the Lord. God bless you, brother. God's real.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Let's turn to Luke's Gospel. And I had a message I was thinking about all week, and then I thought, you know, I have that message prepared and all, but I didn't have it prepared. But I enjoyed. I talk about, and for any young preachers, what you have to, when I say learn to do it, it's God that does it. You have to develop a message. You start with a verse and then you develop it. And God gives you a word and you develop it. And it must run through to the Bible. And this morning I'm looking at Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife? I did preach it before. This might be a bit different, but it's the same thought. I was thinking about Billy Graham's son. They wouldn't let him into Scotland and all these other places because of the homosexuals. Then I thought this week here in Ireland, in Ulster, two women, Maureen, and two men, Maureen, and then a man, a famous television presenter, came out as well, whatever the coming out of the closet. And they all gave him a great big cheer and said he was a hero. When I was a wee fella growing up, a hero was a man that was a legend. Somebody had fought a war. Somebody had saved somebody that was drowning. That was a hero, not a sodomite. He's a zero. That's what I believe he is. Not a hero, a zero. And I tell you, I was wondering, what does God think of all this? And we're going to see what God thinks about it. Luke 17, verse 26. For as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. But the same day sudden, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and a stuff in its house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. You may be seated, praise God. To get this story and to do it justice, I believe we need to go back to Genesis 18. I'm not going to turn to you can at home. Genesis 18, Genesis 19. Why, brother, Genesis 18? Because in Genesis 18, there's been a rumor that's reached heaven. And the noise that has reached heaven is the noise of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the noise has reached heaven, and God has heard a report, an evil report. And that report is that man is doing wickeder than ever they've done before, and eviler than ever they've done before, and God's not happy. And God is standing down investigating angels. And in Genesis 18, there's three men come to Abraham's tent door. And Abraham does not say, my lords, but when he sees them and they come to him, he says, my lord, singular. Because it was Melchizedek or Elohim in that form, Almighty God, in the form of a man and two angels. The two angels go on down towards Sodom and Gomorrah, where the stench of the sin has come before God. Abraham, being a prophet of God, meets with Melchizedek, with God in this form. And you know, God can take a lump of clay and make himself a body anytime he wants. Never forget that.
Yes, sir.
And you know the story, and just to cut it short this morning, but Abraham begins to bid with God. And God tells Abraham, shall I hide from my servant that thing what I'm going to do? And I hear people saying that, you know, a prophet doesn't really know anything. Well, they're not reading the Bible, people that believe that. That's a total contradiction to Scripture. Here we see God says to Abraham, shall I hide from my servant the thing I'm going to do? Amos 3:7, the Lord thy God shall do nothing except he first revealeth the secret on the servants of prophets. And we see it in Abraham. And God reveals to Abraham the thing he's going to do. And Abraham knows that Sodom and Gomorrah is going to be overthrown, and God is going to burn it and destroy it in the fire because of the sin of Sodom and sin. And Abraham begins to bid for Lot, and Lot, Abraham is the uncle of Lot. So Lot's not lucky, but Lot's blessed that he has a prophet for an uncle. And that uncle begins to bid with God, Lord, if it's 50, will you save it? God said, yes, if it's 40. And he goes on and on and on, because he knows it's not. And he gets down to 10. And he says to God, if there's 10, will you spare it? And God said, if there's 10 righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah, I'll spare it. But there wasn't 10. There wasn't even 10. Now God sends the angels down to Sodom and Gomorrah. And here we pick up the story. In verse 32, there are very solemn reasons why we should remember Lot's wife in this story. And in verse 32 it tells us, remember Lot's wife. So God has sent two angels down to Sodom and Gomorrah, and there's not even 10. And the two angels go into Sodom and Gomorrah, and the men of the city spotted them. And remember, these two angels are men. And you never ever read in Scripture of a woman as an angel. Never. And people say, well, I saw an angel and she's a beautiful woman. It's never in the Bible. Never. You can't find it. But these are his two men. And William Branham said they were an attack of Billy Graham on Oral Roberts in our day. And he said Billy Graham went to the nominal church world. Billy Graham went to places other preachers wouldn't go, and people condemned him, but God called him to do it. So there is people in places you would never think they should be, and God can still reach them. And I want you to see out of this story this morning, and I was reading this thing that William Branham said about it, and he says that God cannot and will not bring a complete judgment until the last one comes out. Noah's and the ark, the door could not be closed till they were in. And the fire never fell on Sodom till they came out. I tell you, that's God's mercy.
Amen.
Jesus said, "None have I lost, O Father, that thou hast given me." Every single person that's going to be saved will be saved. And the Lord will lose none. I don't know who they all are, but I want to reach them for Him.
Yes,
amen?
Yes,
that's our job. If you call it a job or our mission, is to reach others for Jesus. To be unfit for His appearing, will to be overtaken with that vengeance which shall come upon them who have not obeyed the gospel. You know, if we go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 to 10, my brother put it up, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and are obeying not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is to be obeyed. The gospel is God's saving message. The gospel is a wonderful story. It's a true story. It's a story of the love of Jesus. It is, in a nutshell, John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17. For God sent not a Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. Jesus came to save. I hear people talking about they'll not come, He'll not come. Jesus said, it's not my will that any should perish. But the Lord wants to save everybody. Everybody that will obey the gospel. Look at verse 9, says, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in the saints and to be admired in them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Now, I don't want to be too long this morning. I want to stick with the message. I don't want to get going here, there, and yonder. I want to keep with it. And I want you to listen intently this morning to the Word of God. Some things about Lot's wife that should be remembered. The first thing that God wants us to remember about Lot's wife, she perished, although she was the wife of a righteous man. Even though her husband was saved, even though her husband was a believer, even though she was with a Christian, she still perished. The Bible says that all of us have sinned, and all of us has come short of the glory of God. Every single person must have their own experience with God.
Amen.
You cannot go to heaven on your mother or your father's experience. Brother Branham said God has no grandchildren. F.F. Bosworth said it as well. And the many great preachers made that statement. God has no grandchildren, only sons and daughters. Every single person must have their own experience with Jesus Christ. And this Lot's wife was privileged that she was married to Lot. You say, was she? She was. Whether she knew it or not, she was. And the Bible calls him righteous Lot. You say, but he was down in Sodom. I know that. But he was still righteous Lot. Lot might not have been maybe what some people thought he should have been. But the Bible says his righteous soul was vexed with the sin of Sodom, with the filthy conversation of the Sodomites. Look at our wee land of Ulster today. The godless laws has been passed, and we need to remember what God said in His unchanging word about these laws that passed this morning. And I want to take a moment just to remind us all this morning what the Word of God says. When somebody says the Bible says nothing about it, it absolutely condemns it. There's a sodomite himself as a program, and you know who I'm talking about. He runs a big program in this country. And you say, a sodomite, yes, you heard it live here. I've known it for years. And he had the first two men married the other night to kiss on live television. And his show, and he sat with a smile on his face, as they say, like a bag of chips. Do you know that makes God sick? But I tell you, there's a day of judgment coming. And if God judged Sodom and Gomorrah for this very thing, and remember, I missed this, let me go back to that. When the two angels come down to bring Lot out, and Lot had son-in-laws, so Lot had more than two daughters. I want you to understand that.
Yes, amen.
Because Lot had two daughters that were virgins, amen. But if he had son-in-laws, he had other daughters. Because they were married. So get that. So Lot's son-in-laws and his other daughters never left. But his two daughters did leave with them. Now Lot offered these two daughters to the men of the city, because the men of the city came to Lot's house and they saw the two men that came in, and they said that we might know them. Yes. And the word know them in the Bible, you the adults know what it means. And Lot says, I have two daughters that's never known a man. So they weren't the ones that had son-in-laws. Take them and do what you will, and they refused it. The men of Sodom and Gomorrah refused Lot's two virgin daughters, and they said, we want the man. And the angels put forth their hand, and they smote the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, the men, with blindness. And then Brother Branham comes to the scene and he says that the messengers to the nominal church world smite the people with blindness to the real hour of what's happening. Now you mightn't get that, but I do. I know what he's talking about. You see, Abraham was waiting back for a promised son. A type of us today, we are waiting on the promised son coming. They're catching away the rapture. We're waiting on it. And those men, angels, smote the men of blindness. And the word of God says, if you read Genesis 19, that they groped about the door because they were blinded, looking for those men to know them. And our country has justified sin in its highest form and permitted a license. And I want to tell you, in this service, judgment is in this land. Don't you talk about judgment in England and other countries. It's now here. It is here. Many of us signed a petition. Ian and many others, if it went round in your phone, I signed it, others signed it, to try and stop the legalization of the murder of the unborn baby. They're doing their best to do it as well. They're going right back to what the Bible talks about in Sodom and Gomorrah, where God burned them with fire. Now, if God does not judge this generation, how is he God? You say we're living in the day of mercy. The day of mercy to the Gentiles is almost up. It's almost over. It will not continue. We are living at the end of the end. We're living in the last days when Jesus Christ is coming again. And we need to be ready. Romans 1 verse 18, have you noticed this? If you go back before verse 18, this actually starts out, and we all quote the scripture, but this is a shocking and an opening of your understanding when you read all of this chapter, because it starts out, if you go back a bit, that it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching the gospel. But then you come up to verse 18, here's what it said: for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteous men who hold the truth of God in unrighteousness. That's what they're doing. They mock the Christians today. Yes. They mock them. They mock God's word. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Yes. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Verse 23, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and the birds and four-footed beasts of the creeping things. Now you say, I don't understand that. You're made in the image of God. But you would not think it when you see what some of them are doing. So they're changing that image, which was an image of God, which obviously is righteous and holy, into something that's an abominable thing. That's what they're doing. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use to that which is against nature. Now if you saw, and I'm sure everybody here saw the news, and saw two beautiful young women, they were lovely young girls, and they married each other. It used to be, you know, years ago, if somebody came out as a homosexual, he was a real lolly boy. He could start a man off. But that's not the case now. You could have a real big, stout, built fella. He could be a farmer, a mechanic, a baker, a bricklayer, anything, and gay. Queer. Call him what you want. The Bible calls it a sodomite. And you don't know it today like you used to. And I thought to myself, there was two young men. If they'd have took those two young men and had took those two young women and put them together, you'd have had a perfect match. But that's a devil. That is a demon. Make no mistake about it. It's an unclean devil on them two women and on them two men that perverted them to go with each other.
And we boys at seven are going to tell the parents, I tell you what, And they shouldn't have said Philip Putty. You understand what I'm saying? But let's say there's a girl, Steve, and he's going to school this week, at whatever, but he's a girl. And the boy's going in dresses, and the girl's going in trousers. An absolute reverse. That's why if you're a woman this morning, you want a dress like one. Don't attract the devil onto you. Are you hearing me? Keep your person in such a way that if you're feminine, stay feminine. It's a blessing. If you're masculine. Be a man. Not a sexer.
Amen.
I tell you, it's on the line today. And you notice this and hear me this morning. If you are one of them and you're in a singing contest, you're going to win it before it even starts.
That's right.
You're 10 points up before it starts.
That's right.
I tell you, it's serious.
That's right.
One fella said, forgive me for making this remark, but when that fella came out the TV program, somebody said, I knew there was something wrong with him because that girl he worked with never turned his head, so he had to be unwell. There's something in it. God made a woman in a such a way special. You hear the things that a prophet of God talks about. He said she's secret, she's given a trust that she is to keep herself, she's to present herself in such a way. It's a blessing if she can do that. And she's an attraction for her husband. But when it's woman and woman and man and man, it's an abomination. Absolute abomination. Verse 27 says, look at this, verse 26. And for this cause God gave them over to vile affections, for even the women did change the natural use to that which is against nature. I tell you, here it is. In verse 27. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, and there we are, they don't want to even retain God in their knowledge or in their thinking. We don't believe God. Why did they steal his rainbow well? There's seven in God's rainbow, and there's six in theirs. Seven's completion. Six is man's number, and man's dead.
Seven.
I'm glad I'm working with God's number.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
They claim they don't want God, but then they want to identify. That was it. Binary. I identify as binary. And there was a famous athlete from America who won gold medals at the Olympic Games. A man over 6 feet tall. He'd warm the ears of nearly any fella in here. A big strong fella. But he decided after all them years that he's now Jenner. I can't, what was his name? Who knows who I'm talking about?
Caitlyn Jenner.
Caitlyn Jenner. You say your life, I don't care less. Truth's the truth. He decided he's now a woman. After winning a gold medal. And everybody was warned when he went on that famous show there. Out of Australia. I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. Don't let all you don't watch it, for I know the most you said. But you had to not call him his original name. You had to call him by his female name. And he never was a female. I tell you, that's what's happening. That's what's happening. And they're forcing on society a lie. But yet with God, hear me this morning, this is serious. If you were ill or you were believing God for someone, they would say to you, but sure you're lying. Sure it's not true, but you're doing it for faith. You're doing it for faith.
Yes.
And they'll tell you they're a man when they're a woman and vice versa.
That's right.
Amen.
And all these ones that's coming out, they're brought onto these programs to give them 2 or 3 million. I want to tell you this morning, what good's money if you're burning in hell? Now God can deliver a homosexual if they repent. But they need to repent. Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Now there never's been a day where children have been more disobedient to parents than today. I'm not doing it. And the next thing, they're rolling around the floor. And if you don't get me this, you don't get me that. That's how you live in a riot. And go back 30 years, you get the stick over your backside. And God, they can feel they get quick. Tell you to put the chirp on the side.
Yes.
Straight to your back, you boy.
Yes.
There's no argument about it. You were glad to get that. Uh-huh. I tell you, when we were at home and my mother was there and we gave her trouble, and she said, all she had to say was, your dad's home. I tell you what, it was Olympic Games who got upstairs quickest. You never were told twice. If you were, you weren't told the third time. But that control's lost today. And society, with the new rules and with the new laws, is making this generation a godless society. She was justified with them while she stayed. couldn't. It was too late. Here's another point. She perished, although she was warned of her danger. She was told. The world today is no excuse. The gospel's been preached in this wee country like no other country. Do you know that? There's churches almost in every corner. There's good men. They mightn't say everything we see. That's not that important. If they preach the main truth, the word of God, it's still they're preaching the truth. Amen. How many agrees with me here this morning? She was warned of her danger. Warned of the danger. A special message has come from heaven warning them. Escape for your life. That's what they were told. Escape for your life. Get out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Have we not also received a special message from God? Have we not received a message? John 3. 36, he that believeth on the Son of everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. We've been warned to escape to Jesus. Here's another thing. She perished, although she made an effort to be saved. She made an effort, but she never continued. And there's a lot of people make the first effort, but they don't go. And they keep her hand on the plow. She made an effort to be saved. She heard the warning, partly believed it, and ran for a while but stopped short of salvation. She did not forget the things that were behind. Like Simeon the sorcerer, his heart was not right with God. Acts 8:31. Doing the best you can. Apart from a steadfast faith in Christ, is to perish in the way. Doing the best you can won't take you in. You're not saved by yourself. You're saved by the grace of God. Jesus said in John 3, verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There has to be a birth. There has to be a born again experience. Going to church won't do it. Share a prayer won't do it. You need to come back to God today. Oh, but wait. You could wait and you might not get another chance. Come to Jesus today. Judgment's pending. Oh, you hear me? It's pending. It's at the very door. Here's another thing. She perished, although she separated herself from the Sodomites. There's a lot of people don't agree with all this and they don't agree with that. And what they're saying is true, but they're still not born again. There's people going to church, they're good religious people, but they're not saved. There's ministers and pulpits that's not even saved. Do you realize that? It's not enough. She separated from the Sodomites, but her heart was still in Sodom. She wanted to go back. Long to go back to what God's brought you from. Don't look back. Look forward. Look upward. Don't look back. The frogs look back in the Bible. Frogs is unclean. A frog always looks back. But a true Christian looks upward like the eagle. I don't look onto the hills when whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Don't look back. He was not so bad as the wicked citizens of the plain, but still fatally fettered by the love of the world. People are fettered by the love of the world. What will my friends think? One day, if somebody's burning in hell, what will the friends think then? Don't worry what your friends will think. Take Jesus. Take them all. Never worry about your friends. I tell you, I thought I had friends till I ended up in jail. None of my friends came near me. None of them. My father came to see me faithfully. I was thinking the other day, you know, when I was a wee boy, I spent 9 months in the hospital. Some of you mightn't even know that. But I spent 9 months between Craigavon, Musgrave, and the Royal, 9 months. I had to get my schooling in hospital. They said I'd never walk straight, never walk right, always have a limp and this and that. And my father used to come to see me every night. And I still love to see him coming. I'll never forget it. I thank God for it. God had different plans for me. I know my Uncle John was praying for me. I wasn't saved or serving the Lord, but Dad was backslid. I know my Uncle John here was praying for me. I come out, they said I'd never walk, I'd never do this, never do that. And I got to high school, I held the record for the 600 meters, the 800 meters, the mile, and the cross country, unbeaten in sports day for 4 years. Never beaten at running. That's what God can do. That's what God's able to do. I remember the first night I tried to run after, you know, it wasn't long after and everything off this leg, and I couldn't do it. I had to crawl back. But you see, when I got back, I said to myself, Tommy McKinstry, you're going to do it. It made me determined to do it. And I want to say to you in this meeting hut this morning, you need a set within your heart. You need a set within your own self. I want to tell you, he's never failed me. Never failed me. Right. Many's the time me and the wife said nothing. Out preaching. You people know I left jobs and everything and go and preach. Difficult. The wife left at home with the family. And the Lord's always met her need. Amen. God's faithful. Amen. You believe God. Amen. God will bring you through. Her heart, her affections were still there. Hebrews 10 verse 38, 39. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are none of them that draw back to perdition, but unto them that believe, unto the saving of the soul. God wants us to go forward. I want to encourage you, young men, every time somebody says, will you come and take a meeting, you go. Let nothing hinder you. Let nothing stop you. Take every opportunity you can for Jesus. Amen. Because one day we'll all stand before him.
Yes, amen.
And what will we bring before him? I tell you, he's coming again.
Amen.
Here's another thing. She perished. Although it looks like she had committed no sin. I tell you the story and I'm going to tell it again. For it's so true. It's funny, but it's true. When I got saved and I worked with a woman and I told her I got saved, and she says, Tommy, that's great news. You need it saved. I says, I know I did. I was a sinner. And then she says to me, I never needed saved. I never sinned. And I said, but the Bible says all our righteousness is filthy rags. I says, you're as big a sinner as me. And brother, she was mixing a big bowl of dark chocolate. It was in a bakery. And she lifted the whole entire pot and just right over my head with it. That's what I got for preaching to her. I met her just about a year ago. And I slipped up. And when she seen me, she cracked me wrong. She didn't want to know about it. She's an old woman today, and she's still not serving the Lord. I tell you, it's a serious thing. When the Lord comes, above all, to stand before Him. Yes. And you say, what did you do with Jesus, my son? I tell you, it's a serious thing. That one awful sin of unbelief, which manifested itself in disobedient Luke. The command was, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. Genesis 19:17. And it came to pass when they brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. Neither stay down the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. I tell you, when God calls you, I don't ever go back. Because God makes no mistakes. Sinners perish not because of the number of their sins, but because of the nature of sin. For by one man, sin entered into the world. By one man. I tell you, we're born sinners by nature and sinners by birth. I'm closing in 5 minutes. Let me quickly resume Romans 5, and I won't read it all, but Romans 5, verse 12 to 19, you can read it. Adam is that one man. And because of Adam, we are all sinners. Adam disobeyed God. Sin entered into the world by one man. But life came also by one man, Jesus Christ. Adam, one trespass. Adam, condemnation, guilt, death. What about Christ? Christ also came, the second Adam, the Bible calls him. Christ, justification, life, kinship through Christ. That's why the Bible says, for sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Yes, you're born a sinner. Yes, I'm born a sinner. But Jesus came to save sinners. He came to save sinners. I want you to see the two differences here in Romans 5:15. God, the Creator's, God shows the Creator's grace by Christ, abounds beyond sin to the creature Adam. He done the thing Adam couldn't do. He saved. That's what he done. One sin by Adam, condemnation and the reign of death. Death and sin came because of Adam. Verse 16 of our scripture. Many sins of Christ. He took them all. Justification. All the sins, the many sins, Christ took them all. All your sins, all my sins, Jesus took them at Calvary. All of them. Reigning in life for those accepting God's grace by Christ. The two contrasted states. Condemned men, slaves of death because of Adam. That's all of us. But what about Christ? Justified man, reigning in life because of Christ. Two opposites. One brought death, one brought life. The Bible goes further. It says you bear the image of the earthly, but you shall bear the image of the heavenly. We're going to have a body change. Do you realize we're waiting on the redemption to wait? This flesh needs full redemption. Yes. Are you hearing me? But it's been paid for on the cross. To offend the law of God in one part is to be guilty of all. She would never have looked back if she had kept her eye on the mountain set before her. She did not fully believe the message of the angels of God. Are you hearing me this morning? I'm coming to close. She never fully believed the message of God's angels. And the angels came to Lot with the message, come out. And they went further. It says they took them and they brought them out. And God in this last church age says, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery shall be finished. But people don't want to hear the angel's message today either. Oh, we don't need it. No. Because they're down in Sodom sleeping. God wants us to awaken to the hour.
Amen.
As it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be. Is history not repeated? The world's in the same condition it was then. Christ is coming. Christ is coming again. Let me read you this. This blessed me. I want to close by reading you this. An angel said that morning to Lot, after he'd given the message, he said, hasten, come hither. For I can do nothing till thou hast come hither. I want you to notice this now, because we have to cut short here on account of the prayer line. Did you notice the angel said, I can do nothing till you come hither? What was it? It was a message of deliverance. And before one speck of fire could fall from heaven, Lot had to get out of Sodom. And before one drop of rain could fall from heaven, Noah had to get in the ark. If you have someone you're praying for, keep praying. Keep believing. Believe they are chosen in them. Believe they are foreordained in them. Believe it. And nothing can happen. Till they come, God can't do a thing. That's God's word. But there's a cut-off line. Just like in a vote, just like in anything, there's a cut-off line. When they're all gathered in, there's going to be a cut-off line. I don't know when it is. Let us stand our feet this morning. We want the musicians to come. I hope God has spoke to you. I felt led to bring this message. Let us bow our heads this morning with every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're here and you're like Lot's wife, you've looked back. There's hope for you. God is saying to you this morning, come to me. And I will give you rest. Maybe there's a young person in this meeting. Maybe the Lord's really spoke to you this morning. Maybe you need to give your life to Jesus. I tell you, this is your opportunity. This is your chance for the kingdom of God. If you're listening in, this is your time. Have you time for Jesus? We've so much time for other things, but have we time for Jesus? If you're here this morning and you would say, Pastor, will you pray for me? With every head bowed, every eye closed, will you lift your hand up to the Lord and say, I want Jesus? Lift your hand up this morning. If there's one in this house, put your hand up and I'm going to pray for you. Now I'm not going to force the people. I want you to be sincere. God bless you. God bless you. The Lord will see you. Come to Christ. I tell you, you don't know the moment. Look at that young woman. That she's gone 40 years of age. Some TV presenter, one of my girls was telling me about it yesterday. 40 years of age. Gone. Lot's wife looked back. And she turned a pillar of salt. Don't look back. Look forward. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you this morning for your precious word. Lord, I pray you'll bless your word to all of our hearts. Lord, if I have said anything amiss or out of place that shouldn't have been said, I pray you'll forgive me, Lord. But I ask you that the truth of your word will speak on and will penetrate the hearts and the lives of the people. For those that's raised their hand in this house, pray in the name of Jesus Christ, you'll give them what they need. In Jesus' precious name. Father, there's one listening in this morning and needs your touch. Pray and touch that person in the name of Jesus Christ. If there's one needs salvation, may they call on the name of the Lord. For you said it shall come to pass on the last day, saith God, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, I pray you'll save, heal, and deliver. In Jesus Christ's name. Lord, I pray with a voice to the preacher silent, you'll speak on. As we come to the close of the service, move on by the Holy Spirit. Speak to men and women. Convict where sin and unrighteousness. And get thyself all the glory and praise. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless each one as our brother comes to close. Don't forget 4:30 our service. And if anyone wants prayer while we're coming to the close, you come forward. Praise God. Praise God. And just while we sing and whatever the song leader please lead, and if anyone else wants to come, you come. I believe the Lord is calling the day. Jesus could come before we come back here.
Amen.
We don't know. And we need to be ready. Be ye ready, for in such an hour as you think not, he cometh. 4:30 we'll be back. The daughter of a preaching, come along, pray for the service. And if you can't make it tonight, the Lord bless you. And God bless each one.